The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. In our study of the book of Nehemiah, we are examining chapter 3 and the work that is going on to repair the walls of Jerusalem. Today, we review a little bit of what has gone on up to this point, and then we begin looking at the different workers who participated in rebuilding the walls. We will see that the variety of workers in that day reminds us of the variety of servants that we have in the Church of God today.
I have heard of a land on the far away strand.
Yeah. back to the book of Nehemiah, where we've been for some time on Wednesday nights and many Sunday nights. We have been trying to preach through this book like we've been preaching through the book of Romans. And we're in chapter 3, where we're seeing them working on the walls, working on the walls. Now, there are many lessons for us here in this book certainly about the historical record, but that's not the primary purpose, I believe, of us. You know, why did the Lord include that in the book of inspired scripture? I believe the reason is because he knew there would be times when we would need to repair the walls of Jerusalem just like they did then. Now, we're not talking about literal Jerusalem here, but we're talking about spiritual Jerusalem. We're talking about the kingdom of God that we are in today here in the church. And there are times when we need to repair the walls of the church. We've experienced that here at this church. We've seen the walls broken down. We've seen the walls almost destroyed and the gates burned with fire. But the Lord has blessed us to come back to a point where we're not done working, but we're still repairing the walls. But the Lord has blessed us to repair them to the point that we're at. Last time we were in this book, we were talking about the purpose of the work, and we saw that in chapter 2 and verse 17. He said, you know, we need to come build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. And ultimately, he said, he told them in verse 18 of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and the king's words that were spoken. And ultimately said in verse 20, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. You know, the reason we're building here is not for ourselves. We're not even really building for our posterity, although that's important. I want there to be a church here when I'm gone. I want there to be people, members of this church here, not just an empty husk of a building when I'm gone. But ultimately, our purpose is to serve the God whose hand has been good upon us. He has been good to us here at this church, and he's always good to us because he is a good God. That's our challenge today. You know, we have struggles. You know, the purpose of the gospel ministry is not to change goats into sheep. The purpose of the gospel ministry is to feed the sheep that God has made through his sovereign grace, you see. And our motivation needs to be compassion for those sheep and the desire to feed them, just like we ought to have the same desire to feed the sheep that Jesus had to feed his children when he was here. And that's what our desire is. And we've seen, if you go back to Luke chapter 10, you'll read about the laborers being few, even while the harvest is white. In other words, the fields are white unto harvest. It's ready to be reaped, but there's not all that many laborers out there. Jesus said we ought to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. Now, he's not talking about angels or other people that are going to go out and make tares turn into wheat. There's tares among the wheat. He's talking about a harvest of wheat, God's children, God's people that are out there and need to be fed the word of God. They need to be harvested, if you will, and brought into his church, into his kingdom. And that's on us. That's a lot of that is on us. I'm not saying the Lord's not involved. Absolutely, he's providentially involved. There's not a person who's joined Zion Church, I believe, that would tell you, oh, well, the Lord didn't have anything to do with it. No, the Lord had everything to do with it. But by the same token, he's not causing it to happen either. He didn't predestinate us to be here tonight. He didn't predestinate you and I to be members of Zion Church or Blooming Grove Church or Bethlehem Church or whatever church you're part of. That's on us. It's our job after we've been born of the Spirit to follow him and to go where he leads. And sometimes we don't do that. I know I'm speaking for myself, and I'm sure you could say the same thing. But yes, we've got work to do, and that's what we saw last time. But as we go into chapter 3, we're going to see the people who worked, that there was a variety of different people who worked on the walls. And, you know, that kind of reminds us of the church today, doesn't it? God uses all kinds of different people to do his earthly work. I'll be honest with you, there are people, I'm sure you could say this about your home church if you're not a member of Zion, but if it weren't for Zion Church, many of us wouldn't be together and close and friendship. We have a variety of different backgrounds, a variety of different jobs, a variety of different family connections. But what happens here at this church is something supernatural. God brings us together and makes us a family. We're a family here at this church. You know, we don't just come in here and social as a social gathering. I'm afraid too many churches in the world today are that just social gatherings. It's, you know, there's churches, the mega churches out there that, you know, I wish we had a mega church, so to speak, but not in the terms of the world, you know. A mega church, the only mega church I read about in Scripture was the church at Jerusalem that had about 3,000 souls added in that one day, and they didn't stay together very long, did they? They got persecuted and spread out. The churches of God, if they followed the pattern of the New Testament, the early church, when you got, I don't know, there's not an exact number, but when you get in the 150 to 200 range, I would think it's probably time you're going to see them splitting off, starting other churches. Because I have said this, Brother Mackey, when it gets to the point where the pastor does not know all of his members, that's the time for there to be a change of some sort, you see, because a pastor is supposed to be going in and out among the flock and to know his flock and to know the sheep that are there. But there's a variety of different people in working. The people here differed in their gifts, and we're not going to read all of it right now. We may come back and read chapter 3. It's a long chapter, and it's got a lot of detail in it, but we'll probably come back at a later time and read each of these verses. But you can just kind of look through it. I encourage you to read it. But the people differed in their gifts. If you look, and I'm going to call out some verses that you can just either make a note of or just come back later and read it yourself. But if you read in verse 1, the high priest, Eliashib the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and builded the sheep gate. Some were rulers and priests. If you skip down to verses 12 through 19, you'll see some other rulers and priests that were helping to build the wall. We see men and women working to build the wall. Verse 12 shows us that. There's men and women building the wall. Some were professional craftsmen, the goldsmiths and the apothecaries. That is what we would call pharmacists today. You find that in verses 8 and 32 over there. You'll see that. Some were even from outside the city. They weren't actually in the walls living within the city of Jerusalem. You can see that in several verses. Verse 2, next unto him builded the men of Jericho. Okay. Verse 5 tells us about the Tekoites that were there. They were different in their gifts. They were different in their locations, okay? And they were different in their positions. Some were leaders and some were followers. It takes both. It takes both. You know, you say, I'm not really a leader in my church, so I don't really matter. Yes, you do matter. You matter tremendously, because there may be a pastor up here leading, but he's leading you somewhere. If he's leading you in the Word of God, he's leading you in the right way to go back out into your community, wherever you are, in your circle of influence, and influence people for the kingdom of God. We see leaders setting the example. You know, the priests worked on the sheep gate, the place where the sheep for sacrifices came into the city. The priests worked there. Makes sense, doesn't it? The high priest set the example. You know, he was a sanctified priest. He was the highest of the high, so to speak, on earth. He was the high priest, not just one of the priests. And yet he used his sanctified hands to set an example, to start working on the gate there. And you know, he did it all, as we should, to the glory of God. The people differed in their backgrounds, as we've already mentioned. The Tekoites, the people from Jericho, there were people from Gibeon, people from Mizpah and different cities around Jerusalem. And they put aside their local interests and they came together and hitched themselves to the harness along with these others. And you know, that tells me something about the kingdom of God. The Jews were pretty bad in Jesus' day. They had a very racist, ethnocentric way of looking at things, that it was all about the Jews. Beloved, there's no place in his kingdom for racism. We're told in Acts 17 that God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and of earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And it says in verse 26, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God made all men of one blood. We talk about, different races of people, but beloved, there's really only one race in God's mind, and that's the human race. The human race. We are all his children in the sense that we are all of all races, you see. Now, not everybody in every race is a child of God. We know that there are those that aren't children of God, but his children come from every nation and kindred and people. They come from everywhere, and we should never see that and see any kind of racism or racist way of looking at things in the kingdom of God. The Jews tried this. They tried to look down upon the Gentile converts, didn't they? When Peter went over to Cornelius, you know, Peter wasn't going to go. Peter wasn't going to go. Read about it in Acts chapter 10, you know. But he said that God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean that God has made clean. And he goes on to talk about that, how God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Wherever we find people fearing God and working righteousness, we know those are born of the Spirit, because those are things that are fruits of the Spirit. The people differed in their backgrounds. They differed also in their commitment. Now, as I said earlier, this kind of reminds us of the church, doesn't it? The Bible teaches us that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And that especially works is true in, when it comes to the church of the living God. We ought to work in the church and apply ourselves to the church, be here in the church when it's open. We need to commit ourselves to the church, but not everybody has the same level of commitment, do they? Look over in verse 20 of chapter 3 of Nehemiah, as he's talking about some of those who worked in repairing the wall. It says, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. Now, if you go back to verse 19, Azar, the son of Jeshua, he repaired this particular area. But Baruch earnestly repaired it. The word earnestly there means to be hot or to burn, to be furious almost, if you will. He furiously repaired his part of the wall. You know, some worked harder than others, you see. Some were more committed than others. Some refused to work. Verse 5, going back to verse 5, next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. There were some that didn't put their backs into it, we would say today. They put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Now the people did. The people here of the Tekoites, they worked. But their nobles wouldn't work. They would not put themselves into the work like they should be. I don't know what the problem was. Maybe they thought they were too good to put their backs into the work. There's a lot of reasons that people don't put their backs into the work of the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's just distractions. Sometimes they feel like that's beneath them. Sometimes they're too busy on other pursuits. Sometimes they just don't have the drive that they should and would rather stay home watching the ball game, so to speak. So some refused to work. Some were more productive than others. In five verses in this chapter, it's verses 19, 21, 24, 27, and 30, we read about someone repairing another piece. So this is somebody who had done their job. They had worked on one piece, and they said, now we're going to repair another piece. I don't know if they asked, say, let me find something else to do. Let me get more work and keep working when I get my piece done. I don't know, but, you know, some people are more productive than others. That's the way it is in life, isn't it? Some worked at home. Look at verse 10. Next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house. And then if you skip over to verse 23, it says there in verse 23, after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house, the place where they lived. In verses 28 through 30, we read about from the priest there in verse 30, repairing the horse gate, everyone over against his house. And then Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. And it goes on there. You look at verse 29 and 30 and you'll see. Six different workers, six different types of workers, plus an unknown number of priests, repaired the portions of the wall that were nearest to their houses. And you know, that's similar to where we are today, is it not? Christian service begins at home. If you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and you'll see that Paul, writing to Timothy in verse 3, said, honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents for that is good and acceptable before God. You see, what was going on in Jerusalem in that day, as I said, it's very much like our church today. Not just here at Zion, but all the churches of God that you find wherever they are in this world. God uses all kinds of people in His kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he emphasizes this very thought. And this is something that's very important. And depending on how long we stay here, we may close with this tonight. I have a lot more I want to talk about, but I don't want to, if we get into some of it, we may get here, stay here all night. And we don't want to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts off there talking about spiritual gifts. He said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Okay, he's laying the groundwork that Jesus has to make you a child, God has to make you His child before you can be His child, and also some of the identifying marks of His children. But look at verse 4 here. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." And that's administrations there means ministries. You know, let me just stop and say this. My ministry is as pastor of Zion Church. That's where I'm at. There are other preachers out there that I know of that don't have a church that they're pastoring. Their ministry is as an evangelist. He talks about different ones that he's given us, different types of preaching gifts, so to speak. And there are those that have different ministries. My ministry is here in Gordo, Alabama. Others are ministering out in California. There's a difference in those administrations, those ministries.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.